introduce us this time.
How do we normally start this thing?
Apparently badly.
Yes. Well, this is Carpool Conversations. I'm Jim.
And I'm Mark.
So, Mark.
Yes, Jim.
What topics would you like to talk about today?
Well, I do have a story I'd like to tell you. I went to lunch in Old Chicago today, and if you've been to Old Chicago, they have like 75 billion TVs and three channels that they use between them: ESPN, ESPN2, and ESPN2A.
The Ocho.
Yes, the Ocho.
ESPN8, the Ocho.
Anyway. They're showing on it. They say, okay, today is the anniversary of the Yankees-Orioles brawl.
They're after him. This is getting ugly now. Now, you got to break it up. Somebody's going to get hurt.
And I'm thinking, is this something we celebrate now? Is this an anniversary when billionaires decide to beat the shit out of each other with sporting equipment? This is something we mark the time with.
Must
now.
Have been a slow news day in baseball.
I was thinking the same thing. They're going to commission a statue in front of the stadium of a Louisville slugger being rammed up a first baseman's ass. It's just one of those things that started making me giggle. I'm like, why is this a story? Why?
Nothing happened yesterday in any of the games, so what we're going to talk about is this big brawl that happened. I don't even remember.
It was 15 years ago.
Okay, but it must not have made that big of an impression, because even though I tend to follow sports, or at least the larger headlines, I don't remember any big brawl between the Yankees and the
I don't either. I have no memory of it at all. And they're like having on the thing a big news story. It's like the Yankees Orioles brawl from. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like 6 minutes. These guys just beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah, 15 years ago. Who cares?
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
none of those players are even playing anymore.
I think one or two of them maybe, but I have no idea. I mean, I remember the George Brett thing,
sure,
with the pine tar, and I think that was kind of a big deal.
Yeah. Look at this. Brett is out.
And he's demon mad.
He is out and having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan. And the Yankees have won the ball game 4-3. Brett is called out with the illegal substance on the bat.
Well, and the Yankees in the Royals certainly have had their dust-ups where they all kind of run out on the field and they sometimes punches are thrown. Sometimes, I mean, that's going to happen every year in baseball. You know, at least once there's a good, hey, everyone comes in and tempers get flared. And yeah, it's
slow day on sports.
Yeah, I guess that stuff happens.
So yeah. I did want to reiterate a couple of things from the last one and a couple of things I think bear repeating. One, this is not bullshit. We are in a car. We are driving home right now. This is what we do every day. We just start rambling on about stupid shit that happened to us during the day, or politics or movies or whatever. And two, in the last one, I believe we started talking about Sheldon Adelson, which I mispronounced as Adelson, and that he joined the Democrat Party, and that's not quite accurate.
Well, I think you kind of implied it.
I did imply it.
Yeah.
And I want to de-imply it. So he is not a member of the Democrat Party, but
he has joined with them on certain issues.
Correct.
Yeah.
And given to Harry Reid's campaign.
And that was more or less in line with what we were talking about.
Right.
To your first point, I think it's important to note that, yeah, we're just a couple of regular dudes that talk about this stuff. And personally, I don't claim to be an expert, but I mean, these are just my opinions and my perspectives on the issues and the topics of the day.
Exactly. I mean, we're not going to be 100% accurate, but we're going to strive for it. which is more than I can say for MSNBC.
Well, yeah. So we're amateurs just getting our thoughts and our ideas out there, and we don't get paid for it. There are amateurs that actually get paid for it.
Yes, that's true. And you use the amateur term. You know, you're really insulting Olympic athletes when you use that term.
Right.
Because they're really giving it their all. Yeah. These guys don't give a shit.
Even though they get paid for their opinions, I still consider them amateurs.
Oh, yeah. I agreed. And like I said, we are going to strive to be accurate. But if we don't get everything right the first time, we'll try to correct the record. But, you know, cut us some slack. We're doing the best we can. I have a feeling, though, that we're more informed than those amateurs you speak of.
Yeah. Hey, look, I know I say a bunch of stupid things, and no doubt I will say some stupid things. But, yeah, it's just my opinion. You like it or you don't? I don't care.
I know you don't. Yeah. I really don't like most of your opinions. Just try it.
Well, and maybe it's important to kind of see where we're coming from. I mean, you're more of a self-proclaimed Tea Party. You kind of identify somewhat with the Tea Party?
I would say I'm more of I'm a constitutional conservative.
Okay, sure.
That's what I am. The Constitution.
So I think there's an overlap there with some of the
a lot of the Tea Party, a lot of the conservatism. Yeah, right. And I like to punch hippies in the face. I think that's in the Constitution. If not, it should be.
I think it's an amendment we're working on.
Okay.
Yeah. I kind of like the way you frame that, though, a constitutional conservative. And maybe I identify with that a little bit as well, even though I probably identify myself more as a libertarian. But, yeah, no, I kind of like that phrase.
The libertarians have kind of put me off here and there. They you know, like they're free for all on drugs. I get where they're coming from.
Yeah.
And I get what they're saying is, like, you should be able to sit in your home, smoke some weed, and it shouldn't be a big deal. Yes,
yeah.
I understand what you're saying there. Yes, I if you're really about personal liberty. Right. But, you know, when you get heroin and cocaine and all this other stuff there, there is a societal impact.
No, absolutely, and I agree with that 100%. I am not a dyed-in-the-wool libertarian. When I say I kind of identify myself as a libertarian, I think it does go back to the ideas of personal responsibility and personal freedom.
Right.
And you know what? I do think it's important for every individual to have the right to pursue happiness that the way they see fit, as well as take on the responsibility of pursuing that. And the idea that an individual can just sit back and say, you know what, I need the government to do this for me, and then I can pursue happiness. It kind of rubs me the wrong way. So
as soon as you get the government to do something for you, your happiness is over, buddy. Yeah. You will never get to pursue it.
Yeah.
That's the conundrum, isn't it? If the government will do it, no, now you're screwed.
Yeah, right, exactly.
You cannot get it. It's something that they just don't understand.
Right.
And so you asked me, we had talked about this a little bit earlier, about, you know, discussion topics that we wanted to do. And I wanted to talk about the Jill Abrahams or Abrams.
Right, yeah. New York Times.
The New York
Times. Executive editor.
Yes.
Yeah.
This was interesting to me because first of all, she got fired, and she's claiming it's sexism because she didn't get as much pay as the male counterparts and everything else.
Right.
The New York Times is saying, well, she was really tough to get along with. She had a really tough temperament, and she wasn't performing what we needed her to do. Of course, they counter back with, oh, you're saying women are got terrible temperaments, and men can be tough, but women. And it's all about this men and women thing. And the danger thing I saw, the people on our side, if you looked at Twitter and that sort of thing, where they're saying, okay, see, they're hypocrites. They're really a bunch of just sexist. And I think, no, That's dangerous. That's going into the same level that they are, where they we're all sexist, right?
You're being goaded into the argument.
You're being goaded into the argument. Yeah. I think it's, and I'm going to get into some deep stuff here, because I really started thinking about this, and I'm getting into things that may be a little outside of my wheelhouse here. Yeah. I'm going to give it a try. Yeah. And hopefully you will rein me in when I get too out of focus. Okay. So just smack me across the face. Hopefully we don't go off the road into a ditch when you do that. But let's take the mindset of a liberal. Let's start there, okay? In the case of this executive editor, who, by the way, I think it's no accident that while she was in her position, that the war on women exploded. And I can do a quick Google search of the New York Times War on Women. There's like 3 or 4 articles that come up right away on the front page of Google. I'm sure there's many more in there. Mm-hmm. The binders full of women that Romney had during the debate, right?
Right.
So you've got a woman who's, I believe, and in general leftists, but we'll take this woman specifically, whose entire worldview is victims and oppressors, right? Women are victims, men are oppressors.
Okay.
You can take whatever group you want. Straights are oppressors, or Christians are oppressors of homosexuals. Mm-hmm. Whites are oppressors of blacks, right, or other minorities. Take your pick.
Right, yeah.
That's the worldview. Oppressors, victims.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you start out with that all the time, does anybody think the New York Times really looks at women like less than men? With all the articles they write, with all the things they do, do they really think that way?
Right.
Maybe they have a misogynistic view in terms of trying to raise women up or something. Or they had a woman CEO and they had this other lady. They both got fired. Okay,
yeah.
So they hired them.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that was the first thing that came to my mind, was if you're going to claim that, well, the only reason I got fired was because I'm a woman.
Right.
Wouldn't you take that to the next level and maybe ask the question, well, if that's the real view of the institution, wouldn't it have happened before you're even hired, to say you weren't, you know, you may not have been hired because you're a woman? Well, okay, that it doesn't pass that test, because obviously she was in that job. And at some point you have to ask the question, when someone gets sacked, and again, back to the facts, I don't know what really happened.
I don't either.
Yeah,
it may be the New York Times is a bunch of misogynist assholes.
Yeah, and so at some point, I already forget the author's name.
Pinch.
Yeah.
Arthur Sulzberg.
Oh, yes.
Or Sulzberger.
Sulzberger, yeah. Something,
one,
yeah.
One of the two.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. S and a Z and a burger or something in there. So, yeah, maybe at some point he just got fed up and said, I just hate this witch of a person, and she rubs me the wrong way, and she's annoying, and I don't like her because of she just acts too much like a woman. Who knows? Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but to me, when someone gets canned, especially at a high level like that, one of the first things you probably are wondering is, were they just a jerk? I mean, we're talking about high-profile executives, type A personalities. They tend to kind of, you know, sometimes they can be jerks.
True.
And obviously you're not, if it was a guy and he was being a jerk and they claim that the reason why he's being let go is he's unreasonable to work with. Just the same list of complaints that they have about Jill. We wouldn't think twice. We would just say, oh, okay, they let him go because he was a jerk.
Let me ask you something, though. You got a person who's put in, who's got this mindset, clearly has this mindset of victims versus oppressors.
Yeah.
Men are tough on women. The stories and the tenor that came out of the New York Times during her tenure kind of reflected that. The New York Times in general is very sympathetic to that sort of thing. you know, they love to say men are crap and women are oppressed.
I think they're trying to sell to their audience.
Right. Yeah. So if every day that you work there, there's always in the back of your mind that men are crap and you're a victim and you're just waiting for something, does it become a self-fulfilling prophecy at some point? You know, if you act the part of the victim and you're always complaining, you're always going against this oppression that may or may not exist.
Yeah, right.
But at some point, do you think, I would bet you dimes to dollars that some reporter, somebody there probably was like, you know, I'm not for this women. You know, I want to support the woman, but she's making it tough.
Yeah, right.
Because everything in their worldview has to do with that, right?
Yeah, right.
So that now the guy is criticizing, bringing that into it. They're having to fire her. She immediately says, there you go. I told you, it's a man's world, it's misogynist.
Right.
They have to now defend themselves when really in the back of their mind thinking, man, she really is a bitch. And the whole thing has nothing to do with individual responsibility, has nothing to do with, as far as they're concerned.
About a meritocracy.
A meritocracy.
Yeah.
So they found what they wanted. Everybody found what they wanted. They looked for misogyny and they found
it. Right. Yeah.
And whether it was there or not.
Yeah.
So if you go into it all tainted, how are we getting a really good, accurate portrayal of whether or not this was a man on... maybe I'm overcomplicating this. But
well,
I got to thinking about
that.
If your mindset is always in that, stuck in that mode.
Right. Right. How do you separate... Or not separate. How do you delineate where we've come from and where we are now, and what's the tipping point by which we're now making decisions based off of merit and performance, as opposed to a time when women were looked on as, no, you can't do that because that's a man's job. And the same thing for minorities, where we had institutionalized thinking that said you can't do that job because you're black or you know whatever. I mean, there was a time when those institutional type thinking prevented people from being able to do things, and people started to break down those walls and to be able to say, hey, look, I can do this. I'm smart enough. I'm talented enough. And they go out and they prove people wrong. And here's where, in my opinion, the truth of capitalism and a free economy starts to win the day. Because if you can prove, hey, I can do this, over time, the right-thinking people are going to say, hey, I want someone in here who can do this, and I don't care if they're a woman. I don't care if they're, you know, what skin color they are. If they can come in here and do the job and make my business a success, I want them. And I think you will find that's where you know we're at as a economic society. You're always going to have the folks I understand New York Times is different because of the market that they're in. And I've said it 1,000 times, I've got no love for media because what they're selling is a slanted, spun view of politics and reality. So, but I think the crossroads there is, was the owner making a decision based on performance? And was the individual then just taking up
here's what I think happened.
Yeah.
I think that this woman can't let the idea of her being a woman get out of anybody's mind for more than 5 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And so whether or not that interfered with her job, I can't tell you that. But I do know, I do believe that her attitude was shining through the whole time. She just never let it go.
Right.
I'm a woman, I'm a woman, I'm a woman. Yeah. She's on the cover of Time magazine punching a punching bag saying, I was let go because I was a woman. You know. So, I mean, a person like that is always going to see that. It's always going to look for that.
Right, right.
So you say, well, how are we going to get past, how are we going to be a meritocracy? Well, okay, so they're talking about in, I think it's West Virginia, two of the two candidates are both women.
Mm-hmm.
In the primaries, women will, and that's all they're talking about. This is the first one. So all the work they've done, all the speeches they've given, all the promises they've made, all the hard work they've done to campaign to become winners,
right,
is immediately rendered, you know, stupid. Nobody cares because, no, the only thing that's important is these two are women.
Right.
Because that's and it's the most superficial thing to be fixated on.
Yeah.
And if you keep saying they're the first woman, they're the first black, they're the first minority, they're the first, then you're elevating that trait above all the other traits that they have.
Right.
Which should be hard work, their ability to persuade, the ability to get things done, their competence as a local senator, a governor, whatever they've done to get to the position they're in. But, you know, none of that's important because they're the first woman to do this.
Right.
She's probably worked hard in journalism school and some other things that nobody's, you know, one thing. But all it is now is that she's a woman and she either got screwed because she was a woman or she was bitchy and acted like a woman instead of being. What a waste.
Yeah.
What a waste. None of that has elevated any of this discussion at all, in my opinion.
Right.
And it's all because you've got somebody in your mind who cannot get beyond the mindset that
If something bad happens to...
Maybe it's you.
Yeah.
No, it's not me.
It's not me. It's because I'm of this class. I was targeted. Yeah.
It's not my fault.
Yeah.
I mean, is that what all this comes down to? It's just people just not willing to say, I could have done it better.
Yeah, maybe.
Is that the whole leftist mindset?
Yeah,
is that where we're boiling it down to?
Yeah, I guess so.
We've pigeonholed you into something simple.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think there are going to be individuals out there that look on others that are different and say, I don't like them because they're different.
Yes.
And the things I do and the things I say are going to be centered around the fact that they're different. There will always be jerks. There will always be bullies and there will always be jerks. And it's what I tell my sons all the time.
I resemble that.
Life's unfair. You know, I don't like it. As a Christian, I'm going to identify myself as a Christian right now. I think it's important for me to look for opportunities to provide justice for people. And I think as a Christian, I need to be... the whole idea of being a servant and helping other people is important. It's important in leadership. It's important in that theology. And so fairness and justice are an important trait to have. That being said, the world's an unfair place. And you're going to have to – my sons are going to have to realize the fact that they're going to be treated unfairly at some point in their life. They're going to be in a situation where, you know what, this stinks. It's not right, but I got to deal with it. And the liberal mindset, from my perspective, is that we have to try to rig the system so that never happens. And that is just folly.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, it was terribly unfair that I did not have the ability to score touchdowns.
Well, yeah.
So I think you affirmative action me into the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Where I'll undoubtedly get killed.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's fair now.
Yeah.
Or the game will turn to shit because you got fatties like me trying to score touchdowns.
Well, but then... We don't want anyone hurt, so let's outlaw tackling.
I mean, and
it's unfair that we have to have a winner and a loser, so nobody wins and nobody loses. I mean, we can take it to the absurdity here.
Sure, why not?
Yeah,
I mean, it's absurd now, isn't it?
Right. Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's the whole point. It's look, bad things are going to happen. You're going to get fired sometimes. Things happen. Sometimes it's your fault, sometimes it's not. Have the guts to look in the mirror and ask the question, was this my fault?
Circling back around, I just cannot believe the New York Times is just well, they're a bunch of misogynists. They hate women.
Yeah.
I think it was a chicken and the egg. I think they thought that they were doing great by women by hiring these two. The two didn't work out, so they had to fire them, which caused cries of misogyny.
Right.
Which made them look like, you know, the stereotypical women whining, which probably made them say, you know, I'm all for feminism, but these two, I'll tell you what, it's like a bunch of bitches. And then, of course, they were like, well, you said, it just looks like babies. It's like, if you go into that mindset in the first place, sure, it was going to turn into a train wreck eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
If you hire somebody who only sees that in their mind, and that's what I believe is the crux of this. When you have a group of people who do the hiring who see nothing but victims and oppressors, and you hire somebody who sees nothing but victims and oppressors, well, what could possibly go wrong, right? Oh, it was almost predictable that this would happen when you look back upon it. So, you find what you're looking for.
I was just going to say, if you're out looking for victims and oppressors, you're going to find them.
You're going to find them easy.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to look at a bigger picture, and if you're not going to take a step back and think bigger than this, I mean, it's getting so old and superficial to me now. I just can't take it anymore. It's just you're whining. Okay. I would have fired your ass, too. I mean, this is how you react when you get fired, like a little baby. I don't blame him. And I'm no fan of the New York Times. So... yes, I think we've set back or maybe moved forward the cause of feminism. I don't know. Back.
Yeah.
What do we do here?
Well, and to me, I guess the missed opportunity is that the conversation didn't move forward, like you said. The conversation is stuck at.
Good point.
You know, the conversation is stuck at. Well, was she fired because she was a woman, or was she? Fired because, and it's back to what he said, she said kind of mentality. And if we are ever to get beyond that, it's.
Well, that's a great point.
Yeah.
That the conversation didn't move forward. You know why the conversation didn't move forward? Because we have two people here, liberals, the New York Times, I'll say the royal people.
Yeah.
And.
The royal them.
The royal them. And this lady, none of them. Could move beyond this idea that misogyny really isn't all that prevalent, as much as you would like it to be.
Right.
And so you haven't moved on past the 60s. Guess what? The conversation isn't moving on either, because we've got people like you stuck in this whole mindset. So,
especially when they have such a big megaphone to broadcast that message.
Yeah, and there's willing dupes that will believe this crap.
Sure.
And
because it fits into a narrative that they would like to perpetuate.
That's the thing. The conversation is not moving forward because we have people that still won't move forward out of this garbage.
Yeah.
You hit it. Thank you. So.
So, hey. So, I was checking out some new shows that are going to be on TV. You know, I know we normally talk about movies. So, we like to talk about movies.
Yes, we do. Much to the chagrin of people around us.
Yes, ad nauseum. but I found it interesting that the networks are kind of moving towards more of the comic book based shows. And
I don't know, is that every kind of that? I mean, Smallville was on for 12 years or 11 seasons, something like that.
Well, yeah, but it seems like there's a bigger variety of shows.
You know, do you know which ones?
Yeah, so NBC has Constantine, which is the DC Hellblazer thing. They've got that in the works. Fox is actually doing a Batman.
Gotham.
They're doing Gotham.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
CW already has Arrow, which I've never really been a big Green Arrow. It's on Netflix, and it's one of those things I keep meaning to jump on. But they're coming out.
Arrow is the hippie Batman.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. He's the hippie Batman.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
He's a rich guy, fights crime with a set of tools.
He's a vigilante.
And he's a huge leftist.
Yeah. So the hippie Batman.
Hippie Batman.
Yeah. So. The the other show that they're getting ready to spin up is The Flash.
I did see the trailer on The Flash.
So my question to you is, having been big fans of the Marvel universe with some of the Iron Man series and the Avengers and how they're kind of pulling several...
Don't forget Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on TV.
Right, so that was where I was heading. So they had big success at the box office, and now they're trying to get Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What's been your reaction to the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, I've watched the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Gone through it from beginning to end. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is... it's difficult to... First of all, to put it as a superhero show, I don't think it's quite accurate.
Yes, but it's... Right, it's not a... Right, correct. Correct.
But it's tied into a superhero universe.
But it's tied into a superhero universe.
True.
Yes. Yeah.
So how do I describe it? Did you ever watch Buffy or Angel?
No.
The Joss Whedon shows. Did you watch Firefly?
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So Joss Whedon has a certain... he has a certain strength. And his strength is basically putting together ensemble groups and then bringing out fun, quirky moments mm-hmm. with these groups.
Uh-huh.
Having a strong center to the group and making it happen. The reason why Dollhouse didn't work is because, I don't know if you ever saw it, but it was his show. And again, it did have an ensemble group, but the star of the show was unfortunately a blank slate. They would put in personalities to her and then pull them out. And then when they were out, she was just this blank slate.
Right.
They kept her original memories like in a jar somewhere. So there was no strong central character to this. And the show, as a result, is, in my opinion, was fucking boring as hell. but Buffy, Angel, and Firefly all had strong ensemble groups with a strong core character in Sarah Michelle Gellar's Buffy, who, despite the title and everything, was a very strong character, grew... And then the ones around her grew as well. So you had a strong core.
Okay.
Angel, you had David Boreanaz as Angel. Very strong character. Again, grew and changed as the series went on. And then you had, enough of these side characters in this universe that he would build. He's very good at building a universe, And then he did Firefly, which unfortunately didn't get nearly enough of a chance. And I'm a huge Brown coder. We've talked about this
yep.
a bit.
Yep.
So... and those of you, if you haven't watched Firefly, my God, get on Netflix, watch it, watch Serenity,
mm-hmm.
and then be pissed as hell for Fox for the next decade, like I have been.
Right.
I read an article, somebody says, guys, let it go, all right? Fox puts out more of these shows, and yes, I got bad news for you, nobody watched Firefly. You do have a very significant niche group that loves Firefly, and rightfully so, it was a great
right.
show,
yeah.
but it just didn't catch on for the cost.
Right.
They at least will try shows. Could you see that on NBC or CBS, the old person station, which is nothing but crime dramas?
The old person station, I like that.
It is. It's the geriatric. Their demo is, ages 45 to 90, and they don't give a shit.
These are the guys that gave us Matt Locke and Murder, She Wrote.
Exactly.
Right, right.
So that's fine, but they would never do Fringe. They would never do...
Yeah, right.
Some of these others. ABC is trying some different things. And they're owned by Disney, so, they're going to put on Marvel stuff.
Right.
CW has always been trying to do something that's out there. It's the only way they're going to hang on is doing these really niche
yes.
shows.
Yes.
So getting back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it started slow, and people were kind of disappointed it started slow because they wanted to see, this is a Marvel Universe. Where's the superheroes? Where's them? Well,
where's Nick Fury? Where's...
Yeah. Well, they don't have the budget for that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So, but they did do some neat things, and they did build this universe. Now, what they knew from the very beginning, because Captain America Winter Soldier... Okay, I'm going to spoil some things here for people. My God, it's been out for 8 weeks. If you haven't seen it by now, tough shit.
You're a loser.
Yes. Captain America the Winter Soldier, Captain America works for S.H.I.E.L.D., we find out that Hydra has infiltrated most of S.H.I.E.L.D., and in order to get rid of Hydra, they basically had to take out all of it. There is no more S.H.I.E.L.D. now. There's no more Hydra. and Cap is on his own, and Nick Fury's on his own, and Maria Hill is going to work for Tony Stark, and Scarlett Johansson is going to be in some god-awful movie called Lucy, where she uses 100% of her brain.
Oh, okay.
And because of some chemical, or it looks dumb. So the point is, there is no more S.H.I.E.L.D. Well, they tied this into the show.
Will she be wearing a tight outfit?
Probably.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Whenever it gets fat nerds,
Yes, I went there.
yes. That's what Avengers should have been. It's like starring, Scarlett Johansson's mighty ass. Because it was wonderful.
Well, when you got the superpower, you got the superpower.
You got the superpower. It was a superpower. I'm being unfair. They treated her character very well in those last two movies.
Yes. Yes.
So we're just being misogynist assholes getting back to our first.
That's right.
So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. started out with a lot of standalone, kind of what I would call freak of the week stories. You go, you do a thing, and you find out it's bad, and you fix it, and then you go on to the next thing. It doesn't really tie into anything.
Kind of the X-Files.
Kind of the X-Files. Yeah, Smallville was the same way. Yeah. Buffy was the same way.
Yeah, okay.
Angel was a bit the same way. But what he's doing is he plants a lot of the seeds for world building. What he has that he hasn't had in the other shows, maybe Angel because Buffy had already been established. But he has this whole established universe with all the movies. So when Thor had his big problem, they were in there, mopping up afterwards. Mm-hmm. And then they got the guest star of Sif, the black-haired warrior lady in Thor, Jamie Alexander, who I think is gorgeous. She comes in and does a guest spot for, to bring in kind of Asgardian stuff. And then they're the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and the Winter Soldier happens, and there is no more S.H.I.E.L.D., and they deal with the aftermath of that. And that's when it really ramped up.
Yeah.
So you got Bill Paxton basically turning out to be this bad guy, and they just, again, I'm spoiling Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so if you got a DVR, I guess it's too late now.
Yeah.
I've already fucked you. Sorry.
Mr. Paxton is a bad guy.
Paxton is a bad guy. But he's this... originally they say, the clairvoyant, this unseen guy. It turns out to be Bill Paxton, who plays this guy named Garrett, who turns out to be kind of a cyborg or something. And I talk about this. It's difficult for me to get in on the details without getting to really trying to get into the plot. And quite frankly, I don't know it was as well executed as it could have been, because when all was said and done, it was a lot of stuff happening and trying to keep up with it and everything. But the ramp up was good. And there were some good moments. And the last episode did have Sam Jackson come in, a guest star. And Joss Whedon wrote it, so it had a lot more of that humor that I think had been missing throughout a lot of the show.
Okay. Yeah.
So
I'm about a half a season behind in my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, so I screwed you.
That's okay.
You want to punch me now?
No, not at all. Not at all.
There's a great moment though in it where Paxton, he's gone full handlebar mustache.
Okay.
I mean?
Yeah.
He's twirling it. He's evil. He's they're fighting him, and he's saying, whatever he's proclaiming, whatever dire evil villain thing he's proclaiming. And Jackson looks over at Coulson, Nick Fury, looks over at Agent Coulson. He's like, "You didn't tell me he was this crazy." He goes, "Well, he's really stepped it up a notch." Little moments that I really, really appreciate.
Yeah, yeah, a little Joss Whedon seasoning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So given that we've got...
Well,
we've got some stuff based off of these superhero universes already out there.
Well, can I throw another thing at you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know that you remember the end of the first Captain America?
Yes.
Peggy Carter?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's getting her own show. Haley Atwell is going to star in it in her own show.
Okay.
that takes place in the 40s or early 50s.
Right, right,
the
yeah.
start of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's another one that's going to tie in. A prequel series, I guess?
Sure, sure. I guess the question is going to be, how is there a market for all of these, and how successful are they going to be?
They're going to own the world. Disney's going to own the world.
Well, yeah.
They got Star Wars. They got half the TV. They got their own TV network. They got all of Marvel, and all the money is going to go to them. All of it. Even food money. it's like heroin, I think. How much of a market is there for it? I think there's a lot of market for it. I mean, I'm watching it.
Sure.
You're watching
sure.
it.
Sure. Well,
what other market do they use?
It's all about us, really. I'm curious because I had the expectation of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that it might be something. Don't get me wrong, I've enjoyed what I've seen so far.
It gets better the next half.
Right.
I'll tell you that.
But it's having had the big highs of the Avengers and the Iron Man series, and I was hoping there would be a little bit more shiny pizzazz. It's not bad. It's good TV, but it kind of brought me back to earth that we are dealing with TV versus big budget movies. So going back to the original list that we kind of talked about that are going to be spun up, how successful is The Flash going to be with a small screen budget compared to the wow cool stuff that you have with the Dark Knight series, for instance?
Well, you can't take out of the equation that the Gotham series is going to be, what, on Fox?
Yes.
It's going to be on Fox.
Right.
And the Flash series is going to be on the CW.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, the CW will, and so what? When you say what is successful, I mean, CW will keep stuff on that gives ratings less than 2.0.
Successful means I'm going to like it. That's the only major of success I'm probably worried about.
By that narrow definition.
are you going to like it?
Am I going to like
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, here I'm gonna go full geek here. Okay, I'm gonna pull the safety bars off right now. The Flash in the DC universe, I am well acquainted with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm well acquainted with the DC universe in general. Haven't been reading nearly as much lately, especially that they kind of rebooted the universe. Because now that Superman doesn't have red pants on anymore, I don't think he's Superman anymore. I'm sorry. I know that the whole red pants thing is ridiculous, but that's Superman to me. You take off the red pants, he doesn't look like... He looks like, you know, Captain Hero Man with the big S. So, and they've done that to all the... Their uniforms don't look the same, and I'm 43 years old, guys. I'm too set in my ways to change now. They don't care. They don't give a fuck. They tell me to go fuck myself. They're getting a new... the millennials are getting a new group, and they know I'm going to watch every stupid movie that comes out anyway.
Right.
So they don't care. The Flash, okay, the original Flash was Jay Garrick, and he had on the helmet. And he looked like the FTD man.
Yep.
Okay, so the second Flash was Barry Allen. This came in the 1950s when they rebooted most of comics.
That's the Flash that we're going to have.
That's the Flash we're going to have.
Yes.
Now, the Flash is the most interesting of the DC superheroes, in my opinion, because there are many Flashes. Wally West was the Flash for about 25, 30 years. He was the Flash. Barry Allen died in 1985 during the Crisis on Infinite Earths when they rebooted the entire universe.
Okay.
So you had Jay Garrick in the 40s, 30s, and 40s. You had Barry Allen, the 50s through the early 80s, and Wally West through the 80s, 90s, 2000s, then through whatever awesome writer thing they came up with, they brought back Barry Allen. So which one's the real, I don't know. this is the one they're going to use in the show.
Right.
And the way they draw him now, like before when they drew him, it was just a red blur, right? Just a red blur because he was fast.
Yeah.
Now they draw him with a lot of lightning coming out of him, with a lot of, you know, and I saw that in the trailer.
Okay.
And the reason being, they explained, it's like, well, you know, in the 50s, they say, well, he got hit by lightning and a bunch of chemicals got out of him, and now he's the Flash. In real life, that gives you third-degree burns and turns you into a vegetable,
a
drooling vegetable, because your brain is fried and you're covered with, you know, acid and crap. But in the comics, it makes you a super fast. And that was all the explanation you needed in 55.
Yeah, right.
What they came up with, and Jeff Johns is and I think he was the guy that reinvented this. He also reinvented the Green Lanterns, who had the magic rings that could do anything except against the color yellow. So, you know, foiled by a deer crossing sign, you know. Oh, shit. Well,
I can do anything unless you're wearing a pastel yellow.
Oh, shit, it's Easter. I'm fucked. You know? So, what he did with the Green Lanterns is he said, okay, no, look, the color is more representational. What it is that green is the color of willpower and yellow is the color of fear. And if you have fear in you, if you have a little bit of fear in you, you're going to have trouble against the color yellow. It's not about the color. It's about your emotional state. I thought that was pretty clever.
Getting all metaphysical on us.
It gets very metaphysical.
Yeah.
So if you have the ability to overcome fear, then you will have no problems with the color yellow.
Just don't be a pussy.
Just don't be a pussy. So pussy Green Lanterns have problems with yellow.
Right.
And then he took it from there, and he made the whole spectrum. Like, red was anger, and orange was greed, and blue was compassion, and black was death, and taupe was horniness, and whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
I think I have a taupe ring at home.
I have lots of them. So the Flash, instead of saying the chemicals or whatever, they said when you become the Flash, what you're really doing is tapping into a primal universal concept known as the Speed Force. And the Speed Force chooses somebody. It had nothing to do with the chemicals. It was the lightning coming in and doing the Speed Force.
Right.
And Barry Allen got chosen by the Speed Force. Then they took it to another step that when he died in 85, what he was doing, he was running around this thing to save the universe. I don't know. It's the standard, run around something really fast to destroy it.
Turn back time, or do bad things.
Get out those nasty grass things, whatever it is.
You're right.
It'll be awesome.
Yeah.
So he's doing this, and when he does it, he runs so fast that he runs back in time, becomes the Speed Force, and becomes the very lightning that turned him into the Flash in the first place.
Oh, wow.
I thought
that's
kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I went full geek. I told you I would. I did.
Yeah.
Getting back to the show, they represent those lightning and everything, because that's the Speed Force bleeding off of it.
Okay.
So are they going to bring that concept into the show? Are they going to get into this metaphysical stuff? Are they they're tying it into Arrow.
Yes.
So their world building.
It's basically a spinoff of Arrow.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, is it going to be good? I don't know. I've never given Arrow a chance. And looking at Arrow, it felt like, okay, this is kind of Batman, I guess. And we just had a Green Arrow in Smallville for the last 10 years.
Right.
Or 8 years, whatever it was. And I was like, do I want to get involved in something else? So I hadn't been bothering. It's on Netflix. I may give it a shot and shotgun it. But I'm to the point now I'd rather see something like Sherlock.
Yeah.
And Marvel's doing it so well, and DC has kind of put a sour taste in my mouth because it makes no sense to me. Warner has owned DC for I don't know how long. they've had none of the problems that Marvel has with their licenses being spread out to Sony, who's completely fucking up Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And 20th Century Fox, who's doing a pretty good job with X-Men, but totally fucked up Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And their own licenses, which they've done okay with.
Yeah.
And then you got outliers like Ghost Rider, which is batshit insane.
Oh, that's, well, you made the choice to put Nicolas Cage in there, so that I think in and of itself was a decision that was just like, okay, we're just gonna take this off the off the printed page and flush it right down the toilet.
Exactly. So
we don't even want anyone to digest this, you know, just open package, put right in toilet.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. So I don't know if the series are going to be good, but I'm more irritated that DC and Warner can't seem to get their shit together.
Yeah.
They're trying it finally. Well, and
it seems
Man of Steel.
So, it seems so disjointed, though, because at least Marvel seems to kind of they have an overall vision. We're going to put these movies out there, and then we're going to sprinkle in some television stuff to kind of complement that. And I'm left wondering, okay, what does Gotham have to do with the Arrow and the Flash versus the movies? Well, the movies themselves, you've got the whole Schumacher debacles.
Do not exist in this dojo.
Yeah, you've got those bizarre events, and then you've got the Dark Knight series, and so you're confused as to how the DC universe is consistent across these mediums, whereas at least
to be fair, in the comics, the DC universe has been a clusterfuck from the very beginning.
Right,
the reason why they did the Crisis on Infinite Earths in 1985
is because it was such a
there was three Batmans, there was three Supermans, there was three Wonder Women.
Yeah.
There was 15 universes. You had the Shazam universe, you had the Blue Beetle universe.
Such a hodgepodge, mismatch.
It was
jambalaya. Yeah, crap.
It was a mess.
Yeah.
And so they consolidated it all. And then after 20 years, now they have 52 universes instead of the six that they had before. So now it's really a mess. So if they can't even get the comic continuity worth a shit, they're not going to get the movies.
Yeah.
I guess. It's sad because Marvel is showing the way.
Yes.
Now, yeah. I did you see, I'll ask you, have you seen the picture they released of Affleck in the Batsuit?
I haven't.
Continued in part 2.